Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. As you saw on the last slide, Brother No Name is preaching to you tonight. Again, the song right before the lesson, just like this morning, follows right into what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I didn't say a word to Charles. Something's going on today. I hope the things, both the singing and the lessons, have taught us many things today. Whatever helps you to listen best, whether it be reading along or just setting your Bible aside and listening, I hope that you'll do that now as we begin reading in Luke 15 in verse 11. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in the country and he began to be impoverished. So he went out and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. What a beautiful, beautiful story. But it's, as always with the things that Jesus says, it's a story to relate truth to us. And I have no doubt when you compare this parable with the two right before it, that man, the owner of the estate, represents our God and our Father. And those two sons represent people and different attitudes towards God. And so God has children. And he blessed them with many things. Sometimes we read right through in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 when God created the world. And the Bible says that he put everything in this world under our dominion. He gave us to be head over all of these things. Everything on this earth was created for a blessing to us as his people, as his children. But he began right away by telling them, but don't do this. I need you to do it this way. This is what is best for you. And so while God, just like a father, wants to bless his children, he does so in the way that he still has control over it. And because he is wiser than we are, he wants us to listen to him and to use these blessings according to his will, according to the pattern that he set before us, because that's what's best for us. I'm amazed over and over again as we read in the Pentateuch, in the law, that over and over the Bible says, if you do this, this is for your survival. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24, it says, this is for your best interest, the way some translations read. God did it because he loved us. And he gives us commands because he loves us. Because while he's giving us blessings, he wants us to use them in such a way to their fullest potential. And sometimes the fullest potential of a blessing is not jumping right into it. It's not using it all up right in 1 second. And so while our Father has children, all of us at one point has said to our Father, give me what's mine. You've put me here. I'm here. Let me do what I want. Let me live the way I want to. Let me make my own choices. Let me do it my way. Maybe what this young man was thinking is I'm of age. I'm ready. I can make the decisions for myself. And I want every young person here, even though you hate this phrase, if your parents tell you you're not old enough, or if your parents tell you you'll understand when you're older, you will. It's not just something they're making up to try to annoy you. It's truth, and I've had to learn that the hard way. And that's what God is trying to tell us. Here is a world of blessings, but you've got to do it my way if you want it to be the best that it can be. But too often we say, Father, give me what's mine. Let me do it my way. And so God does. He's not going to force us to do it. He gives us choice. He gives us free will. And often we end up like the son in verse 13. As soon as we tell God, give me what's mine, and we've got it, we get up, we pack our things, and often we go the very path away from our Father. We leave our Father. We leave his authority. We leave his house. We leave his ways. We've taken what's ours, and now we're going to go and take the world by storm. It's us now. We make all these decisions on our own. And we go off into a distant country. And sometimes, some of us go further than others. That doesn't mean that we're any worse off, because all sin is sin. And all sin separates us from God. But there is a further country out there than some of the places that we've gone. And there, in verse 13, he squandered his estate with loose living. We read commands and we talk about how we're to use our blessings. And too often, we just think that we know what's best. And we can make these decisions. And maybe sometimes we don't do it right out. It may not be that this son went off into this distant country and he may not have said, well, I'm going to do this. And he may not have started getting those prostitutes thinking, I know that my father wouldn't want it, and I want to shove this in his face and show him that I'm my own man. That's not often how we do it. How we often do it is it's just, we're just saying to God, I can make decisions on my own. I can do it on my own. And it's not so much, at least we think, we don't think it's a big rebellion. But it's just our wanting to be independent. And we often squander our blessings away. And can I tell you something? That there are some blessings in my life that I've squandered away that I can't get back. And if you don't believe that's possible, I'm here to tell you it is, because I've lived through it. And I'm sure many of you that are older than me could probably say the same thing. He couldn't get his father's money back. He had the only thing he could do, I'm helpless. And he went and he said, well, I'll just hire myself out. And he goes over there. And sometimes the first thing we do when we realize that we've squandered away and we've walked away from God, the first thing that we do is not turn where we need to go. Not back to God, not back to our Father who has shown to be great in His faithfulness and great in mercy and loving kindness towards us. What we do is we go somewhere else for help. And that's what this son did. He sold himself off as a servant, and it just got worse. He became so hungry. And I want to tell you that if you haven't been there, it is possible to be hungry spiritually. Sometimes we don't recognize how destitute we are spiritually. But many people, and I have been hungry spiritually and felt like there was no bread. There was nothing to eat. There was nothing that could fill my need. I marveled at the words of the psalmist in Psalm 42 who said, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. When shall I come before my God? And that's the feeling so much that I wanted. But I had dug myself in such a hole of sin that I couldn't feel that way. But look, again in verse 17. But when he came to his senses, the Bible says, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger. He came to his senses at least a little bit and said, okay, I recognize my father is a kind man and he is a good man. At least maybe I can go and beg him for a place as one of his slaves, that I can at least eat the bread of his slaves. And so he decides that that's what he would go do. He's at his last resort. And that's sometimes where we need to be, to really appreciate who our Father is and what He's like, begging, just hoping, maybe He'll have a place in His home for me again. And so he got up in verse 20, and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. What a wonderful thing. When we read in the New Testament, and the Bible tells us that God loves us. That even as we read this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, God loved us. And He had a plan. He wanted us to come back home. He was waiting for us to make that decision. Remember, we're the ones that made the decision to go into the distant country. And He's just waiting for us to come back home. Will you look with me in Ezekiel chapter 33? I came across this not long ago in studying the book of Ezekiel. And I think it just says a whole lot about what we're talking about. Ezekiel chapter 33. To make sure. Here we go. Verse 10. Now as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have spoken, saying, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we are rotting away in them. How then can we survive? Don't you think that's a good parallel to how the son felt? We are rotting away. How can we survive because of our sin. In verse 11, the Lord says, "Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel?" I want you to think about this. This is the God of heaven. This is the God who created us. And he is saying, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Yes, that's what's going to happen. I will punish sin. And you will die if you remain in your sins. But what I'm calling, what God is even pleading with us is turn back, turn back. He's saying, I'm giving you hope. Why will you die in your sin? And I want you to look inwardly. I want you to think about your life. Even those of you that are Christians, I want you to think about the things that you have done to squander your blessings from God. And you want so much to come home, and you're just hoping. You're just hoping that he'll accept you back. Back in Luke chapter 15, he comes, his father runs to him, meets him, hugs him, kisses him, and begins to celebrate that his child has come home. There's two passages I want to read in the epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. For those of you that are not Christians tonight, I want you to listen to this passage. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested, that's made known, made clear to us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. If you want to know what love is, this is what love is, John says. Not that we loved God, obviously, because we just wanted our estate and we ran off into the distant country and we wasted it all away. John says, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There was no other way. There was no other way to turn God's attitude towards us as sinners from wrath to joy, except through Jesus Christ. And this is love, that God loved us when we showed no love for him. But back up to 1 John chapter 1. And those of you that are Christians tonight, if you're like me, since the day that you entered those waters, you've probably got some things on your chest in which you've still squandered your blessings away from God. But in 1 John 1, in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. To me, what John is describing is exactly what we read in Luke chapter 15. Whether you've never become a Christian tonight, or whether you've become a Christian and you know that you have still squandered your blessings away, John has told us that in both cases, the Father has his arms wide open. And he is waiting for you to run back to him. He is waiting just to see the glimpse of you so that he can run to you and he can wrap his arms around you, take him back in his home and make you not a slave, but a son. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. What an awesome thing. We were just looking for a glimpse of hope. And God made the world bright again. He made our future bright. What a great and loving Father we serve. What are you going to do about it tonight? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond to His love? Let's look back in Luke chapter 15. But after he began to celebrate and bestow all kinds of blessings on his son, in verse 25, the older son comes back home and he hears this festivities going on. Well, what in the world is going on? And they tell him, your brother's come back. Wonderful, great. My brother has come back home. Let me go in. Let me find him. Let me kiss him. Just like my father did. That's not the response that he gives. And I think it's interesting that really the focus of what Jesus has been talking about in Luke chapter 15 is that of the lost coming back to the Father. But in this parable, he adds this. And I think it's important for those of us that are Christians to understand. Do we have true joy when one of our father's lost ones, when one of our brothers and sisters, and you can say that even about those who have not become Christians, because we're all brothers and sisters in that we're created by God in His image. We all share that kind of familial attitude. And so whether someone's becoming a Christian or whether they're responding and they come to us and they pour their hearts out and they tell us all of these sins that they've committed, but they recognize the Father's love and they're coming back into His arms, how do we respond? Now, maybe sometimes we come up here and we say, you know, congratulations, I'm glad, you know, we give them a hug. But I'm going to tell you something. If we do that, and then we don't develop our family relationship that we need to have in Jesus Christ, we're a lot like this other son. We're still just more concerned about ourselves. You know, okay, God's going to bless him, but where's my blessings? Give me the young goat. Give me what I want. And we're still concerned about ourselves. But Jesus emphasizes over and over and over again that we're to seek one another. We're to serve one another, and in that, we're all blessed because we all have a Father that's able to bless us all, and then we have a relationship that nobody can take away, not even eternity, can take that away from us. And so the servant tells this son in verse 32, I'm sorry, the father tells this son in verse 31, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. We have God's blessings, but we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can come to your Father, and He's waiting. He is just waiting for you to come to Him, that He can open His arms and He can bless you with all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And if you're a Christian tonight, and you know that you have not been living right, yes, that needs to make you feel guilty. Yes, you need to be terribly sorrowful for that and terribly afraid of what that means for you. But what the Bible tells us is that not only do we need to feel those feelings, we need to understand that if we're willing to get up and go back to our Father, He's ready to bring us back home, to take us back into His arms. But as long as we wait, as long as we don't say a thing, we're still out of the house. We're still lost. And let me tell you something. I believe you got a ton of people here tonight that are ready to bring you back into their arms. And I hope you'll look inward in just a moment when we sing this song. And if you haven't become a Christian, but you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing to turn 180 degrees and go the other way from your sin, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and be baptized tonight, you can come home. And if you're willing to come forward and repent of your sins, confess it before your brothers and sisters, we'll be ready to help you. And we'll be ready to show our love to you. You don't have to come forward to confess your sins. You don't have to do that, but I'd love to know. And I'd love to be able to embrace you tonight. And I know there's lots of other people that would too. Whatever your need is, will you come right now as we sing this song?